Well, good day. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. It's great to be together. It's great to spend some time this afternoon opening up God's Word. I hope you've had a really good day and a good week as you get towards the weekend. But I mean, I suppose for many of us, it doesn't feel much like a weekend. Every day kind of feels like a weekend. As one person who I rung up recently said to me, it feels like I'm just on the longest weekend I've ever had. You know, we talk about long weekends. You get the 4-day long weekend. We've had the month-long weekend, and hopefully it's going to somewhat end next week. I've been looking at my fishing kayak thinking, oh, I wonder if in a week's time I'll be able to go out, but I'm not holding my breath, and you probably aren't either. Well, I hope not. It wouldn't be smart, but either way, it's a great to have you with us. A very warm welcome if you're a visitor, if this is your first time tuning in. All we do is open up God's Word and have a short devotion, spend some time delving into His Word and seeing what we can glean from it. And we've been working our way through the book of James. We went through Lamentations, and we're in James 4 at the moment. And so I'd invite you to open up God's Word with me. I'll be reading from the ESV, so if you want to open up your Bible and follow along, that would be really good. But before we do that, let's just come in prayer. Father, we thank you for another day. Thank you for this afternoon that we can pause for a brief moment and just consider your word, that we can turn and see your majesty. And we do pray that you would show us yourself in the word. Lord, give us hearts that are ready to believe and minds that are ready to understand. Speak to us through your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you want to turn to James chapter 4, that would be great. And we're going to be considering verse 7 through to 10 this afternoon. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So far, the reading of God's word. Well, if you were with us yesterday, you'll remember that we were looking at worldliness, particularly worldliness in verses 4 to 6, and we saw that James was exhorting and rebuking and calling the readers to return to God and to stop seeking other things instead of God, but instead to devote themselves to God and to love God with all of their heart. And really, these verses before us kind of finish off that section, and what they do is they help us understand how we are to do that. What should the reader's response be? So James has rebuked them, he's exhorted them, he's challenged them, and now he's going to tell them what to do. He's going to tell them how they should respond to what he's just written. And he says three things. Seems to always be three, but he says three things, which is very helpful. And firstly, he says that they need to flee from the devil and head towards God. Have a look at verse 7 to 8. He says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And so you have in the back of your mind this idea that these people have been pursuing other things. You remember we talked a bit about the image of marriage, and that James was drawing on that Old Testament imagery of the bride and God, and how the bride had acted unfaithfully, and how God had constantly called her to return in the Old Testament. And James draws on that picture. And he says, O readers, you are the unfaithful bride. You have walked away. And so with that in the back of your mind, this unfaithful bride who's walking away, James now highlights something else which is true in sin, and that is that there is the devil. That though we are responsible for our sin, we do not and we should not be so foolish as to think that the devil is not active. The devil is active and working very hard. He, as Peter says, is like a roaring lion trying to find people to eat. And so while we ourselves are led towards sin by our own sinful desires, yet also the devil is there enticing us, as we saw earlier in chapter 3. And so what is the answer? What do we do? The devil is seeking to draw us away from God, if you remember yesterday, away from God, away from our true husband towards other husbands, drawing us away. And when the devil comes and when the devil seeks to lead us into sin, what is the appropriate response? James says, run with all of your might. Flee. He doesn't say, you know, take stock and consider and look around and try and figure out what the devil's doing. No, just run to the hills. Just run with all of your might. Flee. But don't just flee aimlessly. Flee towards God. He says, here's the answer. You're in sin. Here's the solution. Run to God. Run to God. Run away from the devil. Because the devil will always bring you into sin. Always. And the temptation for many of us is to have a completely wrong attitude. And so we tend to think to ourselves, how close can I get before it becomes wrong? And so if the line of sin is here, we think, well, I can be this close and still remain not sinful. James is saying, no, don't see how close you can get to the devil before you fall. Run away from him. Because the old adage, if you play with fire, you get burnt. I remember when I was a foolish teenager, someone dared me to sit on a fire. Yeah, don't ask me why. It's as stupid as it sounds. And so I sat on the fire. And funnily enough, my pants caught on fire. You can't go and sit on the devil without getting burnt. So just don't go near him. And when you realize all of a sudden that you're in the lair of the devil, run towards God. So when you're tempted to walk away, or when you've already, like these readers, already walked away from God, turn and run. And that brings us to the reason why we turn and run. It's because when we turn and run towards God, we're running towards safety, aren't we? James says that when you draw near to God, God draws near to you. And it's that picture you get, don't you, of like one person going in for a hug. And you know that awkward moment when you go to give someone a hug and they don't give you a hug back. They kind of just stand there stiffly or put their arms out like this and they're like, ugh, and you know it's very clear this person doesn't want a hug. God doesn't do that. When you draw near to God, he doesn't sort of sit at a distance and go, ah, sinner. Rather, when you draw near to God, he engulfs you. He's the one who does the drawing near. You flee and start heading back. And like in the parable Jesus tells, as the prodigal son comes back, what does the father do? Does he sit on the deck and wait for the son? No. He sees him from a long way off and he runs out. And when you turn and flee from the devil, God runs out to you. But this brings us to another point. When we turn and flee and run back towards God, something should happen inside of us. And that something that should happen should be sorrow over our sin. Have a look at the text again with me, verse 8, the second half. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. You know, though we recognize that God welcomes us back, though we recognize that the devil played a part, Yet we have to recognize the reality of our sin, don't we? We have to recognize our corruption, our brokenness, our sinfulness. And what we should do is in the act of returning to God, we must cleanse ourselves. And the imagery James is drawing on from the Old Testament is like that of the priest who would cleanse himself. You remember there's all those seemingly obscure, weird cleansing rules that we sort of struggle to get our head around. They'd do things like cleanse their clothes and cleanse their cups and cleanse their bowls, and they'd go out to a family funeral and they'd have to cleanse themselves before they could go back into service again. And it was this picture of a priest going out into the world and being tainted by sin and returning and cleaning himself again in order to be fit for service. And so there's this picture whereby we go to the world, we cheat on God and go to the world, and we realize, and God wakes us up, and we draw near, we flee the devil and draw near to God, but we recognize what we've done. And we seek to cleanse ourselves. But how do we cleanse ourselves? Do you remember there's the picture in Revelation where there are those who washed their robes? Do you remember what they washed their robes in? They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And it's not the picture of people who are saving themselves. It's not the picture of people who are cleaning themselves from sin. But they're coming to Christ to be cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. And so we return brokenhearted and sorrowful, and we come to Christ to be cleaned by Him, to be purified by Him. James is looking at it from our side of things, whereby we return to God and say, God, I stuffed up. Because this happens, doesn't it? You say, oh, wake up in the morning, you say, I'm not going to do it today. And you do it again. And you return to God and you say, God, cleanse me. God, forgive me. But do you sense the brokenness in the passage? Those really emotive words in verse 9, wretched, be mourn, be weeping. Let your laughter be mourning and your joy gloom. You know, James isn't saying you need to be a really sad bunch of people. You need to be really frowny face. You know what I mean. Like, you go to a church and everyone's just grumpy all the time. That's not what James means. We should be joy-filled people. But when it comes to sin, we should be frowners. Sin should be the thing that causes us much grief. Much, much, much grief. We should long for the day of the return of the Lord, not so our physical bodies are healed so much as so that we will no longer have sin. Because we know our sin separates us from God. It causes distance between us and God, relationally, like a father and a son, a father and a daughter. It doesn't stop you being a son or a daughter, but it separates you from His nearness. And God's called us to be a holy people, a royal priesthood. And so every time we sin, every time we stuff up, every time we wander away, our hearts should be marked by sorrow and grief. And I just wonder, is that true of you? Does your sin offend yourself? You know, when you look in your heart, does it cause you grief? Does it cause you to weep? Does it cause you to run to God and say, God, I'm so sorry? We should be a broken-hearted people when it comes to our sin. But notice, where we're fleeing from the devil to God, and in fleeing back to God, we're recognizing our sin and our brokenness, But then notice the only response left, which is humility before God. Verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. We don't exalt ourselves. We don't puff ourselves up. We don't need to prove that we are good, prove that we are holy, prove that we are magnificent. No, rather we come to God broken-hearted, contrite of heart, and we fall upon our face, recognizing that we have committed heinous things. We have rejected the one we love for idols. We have rejected the good and accepted the bad. We have left following Christ and we have followed the devil, and we return and we bow before him and we recognize we deserve nothing. That's what it means to come humbly before God. It's to recognize you deserve nothing. You don't deserve his grace. You don't deserve his mercy. You don't deserve his forgiveness. You don't deserve his love. And in a sense, we return like the prodigal son, who was partially correct when he comes back and says, I don't deserve to be your son. He's partially correct because he goes on to say, I'll work for you to earn it. But he's partially correct because he says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be your son. Are you able to say that today? Are you able to look at your heart, look at your action, look at your life, look at the way you treat your children, look at the way you treat your husband or wife, and look at the incredible gift of God in his grace and mercy and love and say, Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm not worthy to be your daughter. And you know what God does? He exalts you. He, in a sense, grabs you by the face. You know what this is like when you go to your child and they're downcast and they're looking down to the ground because you've told them off, you've disciplined them. And you grab them under the chin. And what do? You lift up their faces so that their eyes look into your eyes and you say, I still love you. I still love you. And it's like James is saying that God the Father comes along and grabs our chin and lifts up our face and says to us, my son, my daughter, I still love you. Why? That would be our response, wouldn't it? Why? Why do you still love me after all I've done? And he says, you fool, don't you get it? I love you because of what Christ has done. I love you because of what Christ has done. Do you know those words? Do you know the words of the Father saying, bring out the best robe, bring out the best ring, bring out the fattened calf, let's have a party, because my son has come home. That's what he does for us. So the only question James would leave us with is, are we prolonging our time in sin? Are we dragging it out? Or will we return to the Father who loves us? Let's be people who sorrow over our sin, who flee from the devil, who draw near to God, and who are lifted up by him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have lifted up our faces. We thank you that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. We thank you for the wonderful salvation that you have wrought. Turn our faces towards you. cusp our chins, that we might gaze upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, thanks very much for getting together with me again this afternoon. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. And apart from that, if you haven't got anything to do on Sunday, we'd love for you to join us. We have our normal two Sunday services, 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock New Zealand Standard Time. If you're not sure how to get in touch with us, there is an email address on the We're All Finished slide. Flick us through an email or just search up my name, Logan Hargort. I think it's in the comments, in the notes thing. I can't remember. Either way, look me up online. Get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. May our God's richest blessings as you go about the rest of your day and start your weekend tomorrow. God bless.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast unmeasured, boundless free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me.
In the midst of every day.